And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio this morning, Frank Kelly. Welcome, Frank.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate being here.
You know, I'm looking out and I'm seeing that today seems such a nice day. You can see the sky, we're expecting sun and all the rest of it. But yesterday, I was thinking if I were a pilot, I might have found it a little bit more difficult because it was cloudy. I couldn't see the mountains and so on.
Yeah, there was a low ceiling and plenty of snow to go around, as most of the citizens of Palmer are aware of. So there wasn't a whole lot of extraordinary activity at the airport due to the weather conditions. So hopefully, I know the public works crew have gotten out early this morning, 4:30, I think was their start time.
They wake me up. I'm on their route to the airport, anywhere.
And so they'll probably put in at least a 16-hour day to try to clear the priority roads in Palmer to make people's commutes a little bit easier, as well as heading out to the airport early to take care of all that snow for our pilots.
Just for listeners' benefit, if I know they have a schedule, so they do things in a certain order for the streets, and I've watched that and marveled at it because it's a complex thing. How do they approach doing the airport? What gets cleaned first?
Yeah, the airport has a similar priority route based on the priority runway. And so that is number one. So the first thing that the public works crew will come out and do is they will clean the main runway 1634, the 6,000-foot main runway, and with it the main taxiway.
Okay.
And then that would be the priority one. And then priority two would be the crosswind runway and its taxiways. And then they move on to the aprons and parking areas, you know, after that. So it is similar to downtown Palmer, in which you have priority main roads that get plowed first, and then secondary roads and tertiary roads and things of that nature.
Sure, makes sense. So I've gone by and I've looked at the areas of the airport that have a lot of aircraft, and I'm thinking, that must be interesting how that area, it reminds me of being in downtown Palmer, and depending on when the snow comes down, someone may have a vehicle parked at the curb, and so someone else wants to come by and plow. We'll have to plow around. Well, it's not quite the same at the airport, because I noticed that perhaps the aircraft stay in place a little longer. They're not moving as much as vehicles, but it's still an intricate dance, I would think.
Well, when you take a 3,000-pound aircraft and put it next to a 15,000-pound snow grader, the maneuverability is a little bit more limited. But what the public works crew does is they stay a certain number of feet away from the aircraft.
Right.
So we don't plow the individual aircraft parking spaces.
Okay.
We plow around them for access onto the ramp areas and things of that nature.
Got it.
So there's no individual parking space cleaning done by hand, shoveling crews.
The
aircraft owner is responsible to remove the snow off their wings, et cetera, and pilot in such a way that they can get in and out of their parking space. And if they're timely and don't contaminate the snow with tie downs and cones and things of that nature, they can put it in an area that will allow the public works crew to scoop it up with the rest of the snow on the taxi lanes and taxiways.
Sure. Yeah. And that's probably about the only way you can do it. And I'm thinking, knowing this, there's far larger spaces like Merrill Field that must be, I mean, just.
Yes. I actually was just at Merrill Field the other day. They do a good job. But it's a much larger operation, and so it actually isn't as timely as what we do in Palmer.
Uh-huh.
But they have a lot more aircraft and oftentimes a lot more snow than we have.
Well,
and less wind to blow it away. So
that's right. And the snow lasts longer. I've discovered over the years going into Anchorage, I can find snow there. I leave here and it appears the grass is turning green, and there are still places where all of the yards are filled with snow. Yeah.
different airports have different operations because of their configuration and their usage and the equipment and the monies available, et cetera. So each airport is somewhat individualized, although there's general guidelines. The economic condition and the location and
sure.
the weather condition that dictate a lot of those things that occur.
So when we look at we reveal the runway, I know that we've talked in the past about what has been a significant improvement to that runway. How's that project going? Where is it right now? It's winter. Is it pretty much done except for?
The actual large runway 1634 rehabilitation project and related improvements went exceedingly well last year. We shut down for the winter, and we have some minor things to complete this spring and summer when the weather is permitting.
Okay.
Items remaining would be we need to apply asphalt surface treatment to our crosswind runway 1028. We ran out of good enough, warm enough temperature to apply the treatment to the surface and be able to test it according to FAA standards. So we need 60 degrees, and last fall we ran out of 60 degree temperatures to be able to do that. And the import of expensive equipment for continuous friction testing. So we plan on doing that this summer, as well as doing the final install of the new lighted helipad. So the airport will now have a lighted helipad and three helicopter parking spaces. But again, the LED in-pavement lights were back-ordered. They did arrive, but those light cans are now full of ice and snow and
right.
water, even though we took extraordinary efforts to try to keep all that out. In Palmer, the wind and the weather conditions are such that it gets in anyway.
Right, right. Okay, so that will be a change. And has there been a heavy use of the airport for helicopters in the past, or is this an increase?
Over the past couple of years, the actual helicopter traffic has increased to the point where we found it necessary and economically viable, hopefully, to be able to provide that service. So the helipad has been on the radar screen of the airport for any number of years. And so it was always on a wish list. But in this last project, the city in consultation with our consulting engineering firm combined about 5 years worth of capital improvement projects that actually totaled individually of themselves about $13.6 million. By combining those projects into one larger project, we were able to trim the actual cost down to $7.8
million.
Well, significant savings because we incorporated numerous projects with value engineering and didn't have to pay for mobilization and demobilization for each project
right.
and effective materials movement. So the airport worked really hard to save money and provide very much needed services and value added products. So we really got a good bang for our buck.
That's good to hear because sometimes I know listeners may have wondered, someone will pave a road and then shortly thereafter dig across the road to put something beneath the surface. And you say, oh, wait a second. Why could that not have done?
Yeah. There are always emergency circumstances.
Absolutely.
A pipe breaks or something
sure.
of that where that happens. At an airport, we try to preclude those things with a little bit more forward thinking. And we don't necessarily have underground water lines and things
oh, sure.
of that nature
you're
that
not
would
the same
cause that. So we have some underground electrical lines, but they don't necessarily run bilateral to a runway or a taxiway. They run parallel with it. So, and we, because of the nature of an airport and incoming and outgoing air traffic, we do as best as we can to preclude those types of events from happening. And so there's a lot of detail that goes into planning these projects. It's called a construction safety phasing plan, in which all of those type of aircraft movement and safety design features are built in up front into these types of projects to lessen the impacts on airport users, to be able to provide the most convenient way to work around users of the airport and provide safety. And the FAA has to review and approve that before a project can go forward as well.
Sure. Okay. Well, that project, that big project, is coming to a conclusion. Are there any other constructions going on at the airport, addition of other buildings, other kinds of things?
Yeah, absolutely. We have private investment as well as continued public investment. So there are two firms that are in the process of working on completing two projects this year,
right,
out there. And we also have lined up this year a new pavement maintenance project for the main taxiway, taxiway A, and all the interlinks that are associated with the main runway that we just got done rehabilitating. So this summer, FAA funding approval pending, we will be doing a crack repair, crack sealing, asphalt surface treatment, and new fresh markings on taxiway A, all the interlinks, as well as some additional taxiways folded in as an added alternative to the bid, if it comes in cost effective. So we will have really completed the rehabilitation of 80% of all movement surfaces, runways, and taxiways out at the airport by the end of this year, hopefully.
So I, as you were talking, a couple of questions popped into my mind about, do you ever put salt or sand on any of those surfaces?
Absolutely, yes. So Public Works applies sand with a little bit of salt in it.
Okay.
When the need arises, when certain road conditions or runway conditions, taxiway conditions warrant it. Unfortunately, due to the windy nature of the airport, the application of sand at times isn't as effective as we would like it to be.
Sure, wide open.
So during wind conditions, it is not effective to apply sand to a surface because as soon as you put it on, before it even hits the ground,
it's gone.
Yeah.
So that's a very interesting situation. Just extraordinary conditions. You're right. Well, what about when the wind doesn't blow, do you move grit, sand, other objects off runways? Do you have a vacuum cleaner?
I don't know. I guess the simple answer to your question is no.
Okay.
Sand isn't needed very often out there.
Okay.
And within a week, usually Mother Nature is our
friend
in regard to the removal of that sand.
Okay.
So the windy reputation that Palmer has can be a benefit out at the airport, as well as potential negative consequence depending on how well you've secured your aircraft. But
right.
Yes.
Right. Got that. So there we go. We've got that operational, and I know that I can go by, and there are roads that lead into the airport, and there's been some discussion in the past about how to best balance restricting access and allowing access. Are there any changes coming up about that whole process?
Well, thank you, Mike. That's a very pertinent question to today's operating environment. And so the city administration is working with the Airport Advisory Commission to develop a new security plan or policy for the airport. And so we will be enlisting the opinions of airport users, whether they're businesses, leaseholders, or tie-down customers, in regard to their desires and usage of the airport. Because what we don't want to create is a security plan or policy that doesn't meet the needs of our users. And so like anywhere in Alaska, any airport, any town, I think everybody is aware that we are experiencing a rise in some forms of theft, vandalism, things of that nature, driven by probably many different
reasons.
And so our airport isn't immune from those types of activities. But luckily, with a strong police presence both at the airport and in town, a lot of that activity is curbed. But yes, we are looking at new security plans and policies that incorporate the needs of our airport users.
I know that at a recent city council meeting, there was mention of webcams in the city. Without going into a great deal of detail, are webcams possibly in the future for the airport?
We're looking at it as part of an overall security plan. There's a lot that goes into the use of webcams and, you know, constitutional amendment rights.
Sure.
For the citizens, and not making sure we don't violate someone's privacy, things of that nature. So the city is looking at developing a usage policy for video taping of areas in public spaces that won't violate constitutional rights of the citizens of Palmer, but help to provide a level of security and protective nature associated with those types of things. So I know that the police department, the city council, the city administration are very aware of the balancing act that needs to be performed when providing those types of services to the citizens of Palmer.
And it wouldn't be a complete interview here with you unless I brought up drones. In part, I've talked to people from the borough who've gone off well away from the airport. They have a drone. And they've used it in some of the remote areas. They've had some interesting successes with it. And I also have followed that from time to time we're seeing, since drone use seems to be exponentially increasing, there's bound to be more incidents involving aircraft or use of drones in areas such as around airports. What's the situation here at this point?
Mike, we don't really have any noticeable influence with drones interfering with operations at the airport. We do have a UAV hotline that people can call in regard to drone activity that's posted on the website.
Good.
And really, if you are flying a drone within 5 miles of the airport, federal aviation regulations say that you must contact the airport and make sure that you understand the rules and regulations and don't violate them for aircraft safety, you know, et cetera. And so I receive a few calls a year, actually, in regard to it. Most of them are not commercial in nature. Commercial operations for profit require certain licensing and additional regulations and things of that nature. But generally, a non-commercial user with a small drone is pretty benign in regard to the airport, unless they are actually trying to fly on the airport, right next to the airport or something of that nature. But typically, you're going to keep your drone under 400 feet in elevation and within eyesight constantly and follow certain rules.
Okay,
so it's not necessarily a big problem.
Okay. So as we are finishing up this interview, Mike Malevsky here with Inside the City and Frank Kelly, who's in charge of the airport here in Palmer, Alaska. What do you see coming into this next summer? Any changes in activity? I know we increase because we have Forest Service, et cetera. What can people expect as they look forward to better weather the summer and more activity at the airport?
Well, it's a blessing and a curse for the forestry department and the citizens of Alaska. The nicer weather oftentimes leads to more forest fires.
Right.
And so that leads to more activity at the airport and more economic development for the city of Palmer because we have an influx of smoke jumpers and firefighters, etc., to battle those blazes. That's good for the citizens of Palmer in regard to restaurant, taxi use, buying groceries, etc., but not necessarily for wildfires in the state of Alaska.
Right.
The Alaska Skydive Center holds a summer solstice boogie every year now, right. In which during the solstice time, they have an awful lot of skydivers coming into town to jump out of airplanes and helicopters and jump over glaciers, et cetera, et cetera. So we can always look forward to that activity at the airport. And we also do commercial banner towing, which is exciting to watch for the pickup of that banner and the drop-off of the banner. Oftentimes you will see the Geico banner flying around.
I've seen that.
Well, they are, you know, they use the Palmer Airport to, you know, launch that banner. And it's quite a sight to see a Pawnee scoop that up with a tail drag and take off and straight up into the air. So that's often exciting. And it's usually Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in the afternoon that those types of events occur. So if you want a little excitement, come on out to the airport, you know, park over by the flight service station, watch skydivers fall from the sky and banner towers taking off. There's a lot of excitement out there. We're also hopefully going to be installing an aeronautical campground this summer.
Oh,
so we're in the final throes of changing zoning regulations to allow that type of thing.
Very interesting.
And it's going to be on the city council radar screen February 27th for the second public hearing in regard to that. But hopefully that aeronautical campground will allow pilot visitors to the Palmer Airport a place to pitch a tent and walk into town or get an Uber ride and go get dinner and groceries and whatever else they may be doing, fly in golf, et cetera, to help boost the economic development of the city of Palmer.
Interesting. Very interesting. Very good. Well, Frank Kelly, superintendent of the airport here in Palmer, I want to thank you for coming in today. We have about a minute left. Any last comments?
Absolutely. The airport wants to be a family-friendly and neighborhood-friendly place. So if ever you want to come out to the airport, we encourage people to visit the airport, but just do it in a safe manner and find a safe place to park that is off the aircraft movement surfaces. And there's plenty of signage out there to direct people where to go. We're going to be putting up more signage, but we encourage people to come out and watch the activities out there, just in an area that's designated for parking, because we don't want to have vehicle aircraft incursions.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, thank you, Frank, for coming in today.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate being here.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.